Welcome to the Hustler's Guide to Flow. I'm your host, Marcia Miyake, and I'm taking you into the minds of some of the most incredible leaders in the medical, research, business, and yes, even spiritual fields to equip you with powerful insights and practical strategies to level up in business and in life. The next level version of yourself starts now. Welcome back to another episode, my loves. You know, I absolutely love being here with you and doing these podcast episodes. It is one of my passion projects for sure. But I have been distracted this last week. I've been really excited to do our first live training tomorrow in the Empowered Women's Academy. So I think I did speak about this in a previous episode. It is our most affordable program. It's a monthly membership and it's going to be absolutely incredible. I'll have the link in the show notes for you. Just check it out. See if it feels like the natural next step for you. If you are looking for support and accountability and a sisterhood this year, then definitely, you know, consider joining our academy. I'm so excited about it. I've had a few people from my past, either that I've done collaborations with, actually join the academy. And I've felt like, girl, you better step your shiz up because obviously, you know, it's super affordable, but that's not the point. Like, I still want people to be like, that was so amazing. I would pay 4, 5, 6 times that amount. So I'm super excited. You know, I'm always nervous going into something new, but this one is especially close to my heart because I feel like we really need this. You know, even I need this. I need this support of women and knowing that I'm coming to you every single week and doing a live training. It really helps me step up my game so that I can serve at the highest level. And knowing that I have all you beautiful women there, you know, waiting and like ready to receive a powerful message and ready to have takeaways to like immediately begin implementing in your life is not only a huge honor, but it's also a huge responsibility, and I don't take that lightly. Anyway, let's get into our episode today, guys. I want to talk about why we overlook emotional pain and emotional trauma. So, what I mean by that is, you know, when we think of physical pain, it receives immediate attention. So if someone gets physically hurt, like if someone were to like break their leg or to get a big cut on them, like nobody hesitates to say you need immediate medical attention and we do whatever we can to support this person. However, we don't do that with emotional pain because it's a lot more vague. And, you know, I really reflected on this and I actually did a post on this last year where I was talking about like how differently we treat physical pain and emotional pain. And as I thought more about it, I was like, but it wasn't always that way. For example, if we look at when we were children, when we were kids, assuming that our parents were emotionally and psychologically well, they probably would have treated both emotional and physical pain very similarly. So, for example, let's say you're a two-year-old and you fall down and you cut your knee. Like your mom, again, assuming she was an emotionally well person, would have run over to you, picked you up. Oh my gosh, baby, are you okay? She would have cleaned out that little cut, maybe put a little bit of ointment or something on it to make sure it doesn't infect. And then she would have put a Band-Aid or something like that to make sure that no dirt gets in it to protect you. And then she would have given you a kiss on the forehead, on the lips, and would have sent you on your way. So you would have felt very safe and you would have felt very protected and you would have felt like, oh, this pain is valid and I'm being looked after. Okay, so let's say you're a two-year-old again and this time you're crying. You're crying for what could appear like no reason. Again, if you had emotionally well parents or caretakers, they would have been, if they weren't highly triggered in that moment and responding from their trauma, they would be able to hold space for you and would say, oh, honey, it's okay. How can I support you? Give you cuddles. They would have tried to somehow remedy that emotional pain.
So then what happens between childhood and adulthood where physical pain still maintains that same level of care and nurture, whereas emotional pain doesn't, right? So I did this list comparing physical pain versus emotional pain and why we give physical pain a lot more attention or priority. So let's look at the physical pain one. So for one, the impact of injury is often visible, right? So we can see that little Mars fell down, she hurt her knee. So the gravel went in her knee. So that's pretty obvious. Okay. Whereas emotional injury sometimes is not visible. So if I'm crying, you could be witnessing me crying, but you don't know why, what caused me to cry, right? So it adds a layer of complexity. So with physical pain, obviously, as I said, it typically receives immediate attention, whereas emotional pain, for many of us, it does not necessarily receive immediate attention, okay? So cause and effect for physical pain is often obvious, i.e. I fell down because I tripped and that's what cut my knee, and that's why I have the physical pain. Emotional pain, however, is often a complex cause and effect relationship. So I may be crying about something, but I may have already been a little bit sad, so that's why I'm crying a bit more, because now I'm sad about two things. Does that make sense? So I'm emotionally in pain, but the cause and effect is not so black and white as it is with most physical pain. Here is an important one, okay? So with physical pain, we are generally comfortable talking about it, okay? Like, if I fall down, I'll be like, Mom, or whoever, I fell down. Even as adults, like if you are cycling and you fall off your bike, you'd say, oh, I got an injury off my bike. Like you'd casually and very just like nonchalantly talk about what happened, right? However, with emotional pain, often we are not comfortable talking about it because it can be associated with shame or guilt. Again, this ties back to the complex cause and effect relationship. Okay, let's take this back to childhood. So when we are children, sometimes we don't know the cause of our pain. And because we're not taught as children about our emotional bodies, about our emotions, we don't know. So we just kind of make a guess. And depending on how old we are and how much support we have, that guess could be close and it could be far away from what the actual cause was. So sometimes we think we are hurt because of ourselves. Let's take a child who's being physically abused. They will think that they've done something wrong, which caused that person to hurt them. They're egocentric, especially before the age of 7. So they may not want to talk about it because they think it's their fault. I actually see this with my daughter. If she hurts herself, if she falls down, like scrapes her knee, she wants to tell me all about it. She's crying, but she wants to tell me all about it. If she gets in trouble and she's hurting, her heart is hurting because let's say me or her dad yelled at her, she doesn't want to talk about it. Why? Because there's a piece of shame there. She doesn't know. She's only 5 now, and this has been happening for the last couple of years, where she doesn't really know the cause and effect. So she's like, did I cause this? I caused this pain, right? So there's that layer there. And then finally, with physical pain is, and this is another really important one, is it's not generally perceived to heal in time without intervention. For example, if someone has a big cut on their knee, you're not going to say, oh, yeah, walk it off. It'll be fine. You know, time heals all. Like, you wouldn't say that. You'd be like, oh my God, you have a huge gash on your leg. We need to take care of this right now. And you would seek professional help to take care of this. Why? Why? Because we know that with physical injury, especially an open wound, it can cause infection. It can spread through the rest of your body, right? And can cause other disease. And then interestingly, emotional pain is generally perceived to heal in time, which is a complete load of shit, okay? For the most part, pain, emotional pain, does not heal in time. It can give the perception of that if someone has just become so jaded or is like kind of like sweeping it under the rug and just doesn't address it. So they may not be emotionally charged and they may not be openly like emotional on the surface about it, but that doesn't mean the pain has gone away. In fact, I would argue the opposite has happened. When we don't tend to an emotional wound within ourselves, it spreads just like a physical one, except not through just our body, through our whole lives, okay? And I have seen this happen time and time again. Hey, I've seen it happen with myself where I haven't healed something and then that piece of pain penetrates all different areas of my life. You know, I saw my life really take a destructive turn when I hadn't healed my childhood traumas. Okay, so from my perspective, the reason we overlook emotional trauma is just because we don't know any better. Like from my perspective, I think emotional intelligence should be taught in schools, and thank God I think it is being pushed that way, right? Because emotional intelligence is just, it's so critical. It is like a critical life skill. And to think that we don't teach our children to understand and manage and leverage their emotions is crazy. And to think that our sad and hurt and painful experiences will just go away in time is an illusion. It's an absolute illusion. We can pretend it doesn't exist, but it will resurface. We need to address whatever pain we've been through. And I don't want it to sound overwhelming. Like for some people, it is just acknowledging that something happened in our past and there's nothing that we can do about it, and to consciously be aware of our triggers. For some people, that may be enough. For others, depending on different variables at play here, but for others, they may need to do more deep healing work. But it also depends on like who you are as a person and how high you want to elevate, right? Like for me, I've done so much healing work and I continue to do that healing work every day through my inner child work. And now I'm elevating, right? I don't feel like I come from a wounded place anymore, but now I'm like, there's always another level to this. Like, how can I feel even more fulfilled? How can I serve at even a higher level? Well, I do that by clearing up my energy. And I clear up my energy by making sure I'm not holding on to anything from the past. And I do that through different modalities, right? Which I'll share in another episode that I'm really excited about. So this week I'm going to be doing, not only am I launching the academy and having our first live training, but I'm also going to be doing some plant medicine at the end of the week that I'm so excited about, that I've been cleansing for the last about week and a half. And I'm just so excited. Because I understand that for me to serve my clients at the highest level, I really need to make sure that my energy is clean and that I've done all the deep healing that I can do on myself. Because I truly believe that as a coach, we cannot take someone else any deeper than we've taken ourselves, right? We only meet someone else at the depth that we've met ourselves. So if I really want to help women transform their lives, or men transform their lives, and I want to help them heal those deep-rooted pain and trauma that they've been through, which I've been doing for years now, but that means I need to up-level myself all the time as well. So I think I'll wrap it up for this episode, but this is why we tend to overlook emotional trauma. So if it's one takeaway that I want you to get from this episode, is that time does not heal all wounds. Time heals no wounds. And if we don't heal childhood traumas, we will project it on others. And that's how we keep this cycle of trauma going. We will project it on our partners. We will project it on our children, on our friends. completely unaware of what we are doing. So we need to take that responsibility to say, I'm going to heal my stuff, not only for me, but for everybody that comes in contact with me.
Okay, guys, I hope you got some powerful takeaways from this episode. If so, please share it with someone. And if you haven't done so already, please review and subscribe, as it helps us to spread our message of inspiration. Sending you all so much love, and I'll see you on the next episode of The Hustler's Guide to Flow.